I did not start recording. There we go. Thanks. Do you hear it now?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Russell, do you mind if you plus again, please? Just for the sake of...
Yeah, okay, because the auto scribe was turned on.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on then. Next one is 563.
Super complex PR. It adds Vivian as an author to the authors array.
Good. We have two approvals. Let's go ahead and merge. And the next one is even Freshia 564.
Yeah. So I took a stab at updating the README to make it a little bit more clear. Right now, there's a ton of things on the README that are not really relevant to somebody who just wants to use the repo. There are a lot more for like us holding the meetings and hosting and all that kind of stuff. And between Trace Interop and Trace Vocab, the way the current setup, there will be lots of desyncing that happens, right? If we update the meeting instructions to do it in both repos, etc. So what I did was I kept the instructions all in the Trace Interop side, and I linked to it from a sister PR on the Trace Vocab PR.
Cool.
And Ted, you know, caught language issues that I had, which thank you for that. And I think those have all been merged unless I'm reading it wrong.
Good stuff. Yeah, it looks like it. Amazing. Thank you for making our stuff cooler. Any objections to 564? We have two approvals. I'll go ahead and merge. That's it for Trace Interop. Moving over to Trace Vocab here. Let's see. First, we have 797. Adam, you're on the call. We talked a little bit about this last week, I think, but it seems like you've added more stuff. So would you care to introduce?
Yeah. So this PR is basically to add workflows to the OpenAI API YAML file. In order to be able to import the workflows, basically. I did do a little bit of refactoring. So the OpenAPI YAML file has separate refs for the paths, just to kind of make it easier to maintain it. I did fail to see that the npm install on the traceability schemas package has a schemas to open API JS file. So I'll need to kind of revisit this PR and make sure that that script writes the file the way I'm sort of proposing to do it in the PR, so that passes. But yeah, I mean, I guess essentially it's to add the workflows to the open API.
Right.
It's blocked. I've requested changes on it. See the comments.
Thanks, Tori.
Good. All right. Thanks for the intro, Adam. Let's see. Next on the list is 803. Adding Ted and, well, oh, Vivian was the other one.
Yeah.
Yep. Any objections to 503? I'll just throw an approval on it. I'll go ahead. Let you in. Next one is 805. From me, this was some of those situations that where you have an optional parent with mandatory children, which messes up JSON forms. So getting rid of those.
Mahmoud, yes, I believe we did work onwards from this. So happy to see that. We have 3 approvals. I'll merge 805 in. Next is 807 from Ben.
Let's see, I'm here. This one is the UMCA credential. So this is direct feedback from a customer and improving customer experience to align with the document.
Yeah, it's an inlining, right?
Yes, inlining and making it very, very specific to align with the document that it's intended to replicate.
Beautiful. Any objections to 807? Cool. Next one is 808. Ben, that's you again. Then this is removal of performer invoice.
Let's see. Did I? Yeah. So I think I cloned your.
Yeah.
One. Okay. So I built on top of that to avoid merge conflicts, and then I closed the previous one that I opened up and Mike approved, and I got feedback on, and then added a boolean, which Ori has a comment on.
This is for 808, right?
Yes.
Are lines 1238 to 1240 correct? Because they feel like they're weird thing that you got from the previous PR, but I can't really tell if this is intended or not.
1248.
So the ones where you're adding types.
Yeah, where you add price as mandatory and price currency as mandatory.
That one is part of NIST's pull request that I built on top of.
Yeah, yes.
We understand these to be normative requirements of both proforma and non-proforma invoices, correct?
Yeah, but he's removing proforma here. This is what's left of commercial invoice credential. That, and I can confirm that. This is my stuff.
What's the question?
I think what I'm confused about is if, since NIST merged commercial invoice credential, why are we still seeing a delta for Ben? And is that, is this just GitHub being funny, or is this actually something, is this a missing thing?
I think it's GitHub being funny, and I don't suspect that it will be a problem, because it should be the same commit.
So yeah, if you look at the conversation page, the first one is a commit from NIST fix optionality bug. So I'm not sure why it's still showing the diff.
No.
All right. Fair enough.
I queued myself. I'll say this. I'm kind of sad that we've been removing something like performa invoice. I get in when I'm out there in the industry, I get a lot of credit for our work by the sheer number of recognizable schemas that we have available on our repo. So if we start to remove, we kind of lose that credibility or sense of maturity or whatever it is. I'll just make that note. Ori?
I'm cued to say that I think we don't need schemas that implement the exact same semantics, but is proforma as a Boolean is very poor JSON-LD semantic descriptions. So that's the comment that I left. I think a data scientist with a RDF background would have solved this a different way, but I don't know that anyone on this particular group cares to solve it in that, sort of more RDF first approach. So, kind of echoing what you said, Ness, you know, regarding how we are perceived externally, I think this is a case where if you look at this, in this particular schema and you see this is pro forma property, you're not going to think highly of us. And if that's the thing that we would like to fix, we should address this semantic issue in a sort of more in the vein of JSON-LD way. And that would be probably with, you know, more JSON-LD sugar and less JSON schema Boolean operator. That's it.
I'll just cue myself quickly again. My counter proposal to this is to copy the inline commercial invoice, make it, turn it into a pro forma invoice, although it will be very, very similar, if not like almost identical. And you choose the one you need. And if you don't need pro forma invoice, just leave it. That would be my preferred way of solving this.
I don't think that's going to meet consensus based on the conversations I've heard regarding this. I think people want a single schema and they want to know whether it's pro forma or not. So unless that is being clearly communicated in a way that is going to be acceptable to business stakeholders who don't care about JSON-LD and are angered every time we bring it up, I don't think this is going to get merged.
All right. Well, formally, we don't have any objections is what I'm hearing. And we do have two approvals. Ben, would you care to fix the is performer thing?
Well, let's see. Fix it. How do we want to open an issue?
So what's your preference? Do you want to merge it first and then open an issue to correct it later?
Well, let's see. I think we can kind of do separation concerns. One, the feedback that we're getting is we want to have a single invoice credential with a flag on it. I think that's settled as far as I know. But the second part is we have bad semantics. That seems like a separate issue. Is that the correct understanding of this?
Yeah, I mean, we can choose to work a bit more on the semantics before we merge. Is that what do you
prefer? Well, I mean, I would prefer to merge and then create an issue.
Right. Let's do
because
that.
The first thing we want to address is the feedback that we've gotten about having it narrowing down the number of invoices.
All right. Any objections to merging 808?
And I'll go ahead and create a new issue and link it to the pull request.
Thank you. And I'll go ahead and merge. Let's see. We have a couple more. 809 from Mahmoud.
One second. I'm opening it up. Oh, yeah. This just moves. Same as the other one. This cleans up the readme by removing the meetings, which is taking up a ton of space. One thing I noticed is our development.md. I think that may also need a little bit of work because I don't believe there's any reference that I could find easily that says these are the steps that you need to do after you change or add or, you know, whatever to a vocabulary term, right? Like there's no way, I couldn't find anything easily that says do X to sign credentials, right? I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but I think that should be something that we could improve somewhere. Unless I'm missing it. But yeah. But all this PR does is just moves meetings from the base README and puts it, and links to the trade control README.
In any case, we tend to merge first and continue fixing subsequently. That would be my preference here as well.
Yep.
Any
if anyone has any ideas or if anyone has seen a thing that I'm missing, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll make an issue.
Let's merge it first and have a look.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Any objections? Good. I'll merge it. Let's see. One more. 8, 10. Yes, that's right. All right. 8, 10 is also you, Mahmoud.
Yeah. So this one's a little bit weird. We discussed this, I want to say it last, I guess, it's been a while now. I thought it was, for whatever reason. This was the, hash links don't actually have semantic, meaning. The end, result of that conversation was to move it to add the format URL into the array and then update the link data ID to point to the actual thing, which in that case it was traceability product. Then as I was going through it, Nis mentioned, why don't we make it point to schema.org product? And I updated it to point to that. And I believe as it stands, there are no things that point to traceability product. So maybe as a separate issue, we could remove that. But yeah, that's what I have.
Looks good to me. Any questions or concerns on 810? If not, I'll merge. Done. Cool. That's it on pull requests. So let's hit back to trace and draw and do issues. Let's see. Da-da-da. Here comes the order. The first on the list is 453 from Chris. Allow JWT in credentials verify. We don't have Chris on the call. Would anyone care to speak to 453? Ori, go for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, in general, we need to start thinking about supporting JSON Web Token formatted verifiable credentials. And that means for all of the APIs that return application VC plus LD plus JSON today, there needs to be an option to understand supporting application VC plus LD plus JWT tomorrow. So at a high level, we're really just adding different content types as supported arguments. And I think, you know, if I were to tackle doing that work, which I'm not volunteering to do, but I'm totally volunteering to help Chris with, I would start by updating all of the schema definitions from like what they are now to be one of, and then define concrete schemas for those two content types. Cause we'll be reusing those concrete schemas often, I think. So that would be my recommendation. And I'm happy to help review pull requests when we're ready to start that work. I think, you know, just a quick note on the status list 2021 stuff. I don't think Transmute's intending to support that for data integrity proofs. So the first time that we are going to pass any tests regarding status list 2021 will be after both status list 2021 and JSON Web Tokens are supported. That's our current roadmap plan. That's it.
I have a question here, which is about the credentials. Sorry, my brain stopped working for a second. I'll come back to my question later. keep going, Sarnas.
All right. I'll just copy Russell's nice note into comment on the ticket.
My notes for that are not super nice. I might, not sure.
Anything else on 453? Mahmoud, if you remember,
I think of it, I'll
bring it. Yeah, we'll circle back. No problem. All right, let's move on to 460 here. Also from Chris. Update respec with links to Postman collection. Oh, yeah. That's been around for a while. Let's just yank Chris. Move on. 464. Oh, this is good. I believe we can close this. This was, we had like a American, it was the importer security filing example to kind of represent workflows, which wasn't even that good of a use case. Plus it had big American flags or shields or whatever it was. And I just had feedback that it felt too American, but we changed this a week or two ago, so we can close this now.
Remind me, what was the change that happened?
I rewrote the whole workflows section on the respec.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one is 485. Ben, that's yours. How do I provide a verify with updated corrected information previously sent in a prior presentation? Oh, that one.
Okay. Well, the scope of this one is just to make sure that we have the requirements around the problem of sending the wrong credentials. So, you know, I sent an invoice that I got from a customer, but I sent the wrong invoice to be associated with the presentation. So I need to say, hey, please don't associate this. And how do we address that? Do we create a new credential that says, please don't associate the ID, or do we issue a new credential? And the main thing is just to get the requirements so we can check the implementation against the requirements. Corey.
So we have to, you know, discuss our data model. You know, we're in a JSON-LD data model, and you have to assume that the verifier is not going to comply with delete requests. So the first thing you need to do is submit the actual correct data. And the second thing is, you know, you probably want to communicate to them, maybe out of band, hey, you know, I accidentally sent you other information. And, you know, as an analogy, and maybe this analogy should get documented, you know, to make this explainable to business folks. But in healthcare scenarios, sometimes you send the wrong patient records. And when that happens, you send the right patient records, but then you have to call the business that you have a business associate agreement with to tell them, hey, you know, we have a business associate agreement, but I sent you the wrong information. I need you to make sure you know, do the right thing and delete that information that you don't need as part of your business operation. So some communication around that needs to be in the spec, but the thing that's, yeah, basically what I said needs to be explained in language that delights some non-technical person who doesn't care about append-only graph structures.
So what I'm hearing from you, Ori, is we need to send a second credential. That second credential may or may not share the ID of the original credential, but there will, so the second credential is the correct data. And then we will also need to send another instruction that says, please replace the reference to the original data with a reference to this data.
No, the first part is correct. The second part is an implementation detail that I don't know we'll get consensus on. So I would say let's document the first part, warn that there should be out-of-band communication when this happens, and let's start with that.
So the first part, though, one of the things that we need to be clear about is, are we sending a new credential with the correct data with a new credential ID? Or are we reusing the old credential ID? Because I believe when we had previously landed was reuse the old credential ID.
So it doesn't matter. The presentation needs to be made with the correct information, and the ID is not going to be the same if the issuer is conforming to the spec. So it will never be the same ID.
Not the presentation ID, the credential ID.
I know, I'm answering the question. The credential ID will not be the same for two different, you know, patient records, right?
Yeah, and it also kind of depends on who the issuer was, because if you send an invoice that was issued by someone else, or you send like a CTPAT or, you know, CTPAT credential that wasn't issued by you, it was like you have it on file, you associate it with the wrong thing, you know, you might not necessarily be able to reissue a credential with a new ID. So, you know, the first thing is just to send the correct data. The second thing is.
Yeah. Send the correct data, document what sending the correct data would look like according to the requirements we have in the spec today, which means the presentation ID will be unique because it's going to be a new presentation, and the credentials, they're going to conform to our specification in the case they're a credential that's defined by our vocabulary. In the case they're a credential that's not defined by our vocabulary, we don't know what fields are going to be present, you know, in there. ID could be optional. Person could have decided to do a bunch of other things. None of that's our business. And we should also say, you know, you should communicate out of band to the verifier that there was a mistake made. And that would be the starting point.
Right. Good discussion. Any volunteers to bring this, move this forward?
So just to confirm that all we need to do in this case is update the respect document with what the expected behavior is, right?
I think what we need is a statement that says, that says, the expected behavior is 1, 2, 3 in the respect document. I do not believe there are any tests / credentials that we're talking about right now. In the future, this may be a thing, but even then, I don't see how you would test that. So yeah, I think it's just the respect though. Okay.
It feels like I've been voluntold to pick this one up.
Congrats, Ness.
Yeah. Great. Done. No promises on timeline. Let's move on. Next one is 468. Method for referencing stored verifiable credentials from Chris. There's been plenty of discussion. Last in March. If anyone remembers the...
So I remember the context. And I think I've had separate conversations with other parties where this was a similar issue, right? One thing that I believe the VC API does is it allows any party to request an ID, and it expects the issuer to just issue to that ID, right? I have disagreed with that, and I believe it should be up to the issuer to determine the IDs. And I'm reading through, I believe what this is, what Chris and Ori agreed to, which is when a client requests a revocable credential, if they provide an ID or a credential status, they should receive a 400 error. And I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. It should be up to the issuer to determine what ID the credential ends up with. If you read the rest of the points, it basically goes through and says who is responsible for setting the ID and the credential status, and how you would handle getting that production Kubernetes status.
Ori? Yeah, so our spec says ID is required on credentials that we define the schema and shape for. And I think the statement that you're making is the issuer is responsible for assigning the ID value to a credential. And they assign that prior to protecting the credential so that their chosen identifier is the one that is secured when they protect the credential. And then I think you're also saying, you know, the status endpoint relies on credential ID, and the status endpoint is hosted by the issuer as well. And, like that's all fine. So what concrete changes do we need to make for this issue to close? Like, how do we address this issue?
I think Manu mentioned something down the list, and I don't know if we've addressed them.
It sounds like, based on what I'm reading, the issue should just be closed as we're done with it. We require identifiers and we acknowledge the issuer controls all fields in a credential prior to securing it.
Well, have we done that? So if you look at have we made that statement in our spec somewhere that says the issuer is responsible for setting the ID and the credential status, not the client? I know that the issuer does control it, but the behavior that Chris is asking for is the issuer should reject if the client tries to set an ID. I think that's the disconnect.
I mean, for an internal API, they're the same party. So it's a little weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but some of this is external facing, right? And I believe when we're building
these endpoints,
everything should be.
These endpoints are internal facing, which is part of the problem with the API. These are endpoints that the client is authenticated in the same security context as the server. Like these are internal APIs. This is not cross trust domain credential issuance.
So I believe we've made a statement in the past that every endpoint that we're talking about here is a cross domain endpoint and we should treat it as such. But I see where you're coming from, right? If we're making an exception to that, I think we should really note that somewhere. Because I believe we're very explicit, and I don't remember where, that we're treating them all as external.
We treat all of them as needing security, but a client API that issues a credential and signs with particular keys controlled by the server is only meant to be invoked by authorized clients. It's not... like, that's not a public capability you expose.
Yeah, it's not a public capability.
So the idea that the client shouldn't be allowed to request a particular ID seems incorrect to me. Because the client and the server are the same legal entity, you know, or they're supposed to be equally authorized in this context. Because the client's setting all the other claims, right? Like,
yeah. So then, Chris's original point was, a bad actor could block use of IDs created by another client by flooding the system with requests for a specific requested ID. What you're saying is that is not actually true because the client and the server are both actually the same entity. And so all you're doing is you're harming yourself. And in that case, we don't have to do anything. We're done.
Yeah. I think there's confusion here over the security context for these APIs, and it's long-running confusion I don't know how to fix it other than being more clear in respec, which is probably what we need to do.
Looking at the end of it, Chris says that they were discussed on a call and proposal 4 is the fallback that they will run through.
I would close this open issue that has the massive thread because it's not really going to be helpful to resolve it. I would look at the required fields that a client must provide and see if if the credential ID is in the required fields and marked required, then it's a 400 error when it's absent. If it's in there, if it's not in there and it's supposed to be in there, it's 400. And if it's there and it's not supposed to be, it's also 400. They're both invalid client request errors. And that's what the test should confirm. So it should be a conformance test, should be 400 category conformance test error, positive and negative test in the conformance API for credential slash issue.
So, I agree with you, and I think that's where Chris ended up going, which is basically, he said proposal 4, which is you need to preserve the optionality of credential ID in the request of credential issue. Our spec says you must return a value for ID, and that keeps us in line with the VC API group. So I think that's
exactly what we're just saying. I just want to be clear, you know, what you get back from the API and what you send to the API are two different schemas, and there should be tests on both sides.
ID is not required on the Open API.
Yeah, so ID should not be required on the what you send the credentials issue, but it should be required on what it returns back to you.
And what I'm asking is, are we saying it's a 400 error if you provide an ID on the inbound request?
I believe where we've landed is no. It is not a 400 error, and you may or you may not send it. It is entirely up to how the server decides to handle
it. And the issuer may or may not use it.
Yeah, it may disregard it, it may provide it. It's up to the issuer.
Okay, and as long as it says that someplace in English, in respec, we can be done with this.
All right.
Any volunteers to copy the option 4 text into respec? Well, I guess
I believe Chris already had
it. It's already assigned, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can do a few more. Next one is 438 Open Wallet Foundation from Ori.
We can close this. I'm no longer pursuing the Open Wallet Foundation. They did ask for presentations and interest, and I think that they're kind of chugging along on their own agenda. But I've lost the standards participation cycles to care. And unless other folks want to take up the standard of trying to work with them, I suggest we just keep this closed.
I agree. Do you mind if I bump up an issue? It's very small, but I kind of wanted to.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So it is 562. I think I put this up today. My understanding is, as far as I know, JSON Web Signatures is being withdrawn. So that's JWS 2020, sorry. That's being withdrawn. Ori, any updates on the status of that? And the issue is we need to remove all references to JSON Web Signature 2020 from our spec. What do we replace them with? Is it VCJWT? And do we need to put anything else?
We don't. We need to remove that RDF type because, you know, it doesn't even make any sense anymore. Data integrity proofs are now the RDF type, and crypto suites are how you communicate this kind of thing. So, you know, we should just remove any reference to JSON Web Signature 2020. And, you know, we may want to add a sentence that says, you know, if you are interested in securing with this thing that's basically deprecated, you should consider using this other thing that the working group decided everyone should use, and then point to VCJWT, which is what we did when we withdrew the work item formally in W3C. But we should just repeat that here, because every now and then I do get interested inquiries regarding that crypto suite. And it would be nice not to answer questions over and over again.
Well, my question is a little bit different. I put a link to a place in our spec where we say each dead URL for a given relationship will have a single supported signature suite type. For example, 8519-2018 and JWS 2020, right? If you remove the reference to JWS 2020, does it make sense to put in a reference to VC JOTS there instead?
Yes. So that section, we need to remove 8255.19 signature 2018. We need to remove JSON Web Signature 2020. We need to decide if we're going to support data integrity proofs with the new crypto suite format, which is what the technical recommendation for data integrity proofs will become. And we need to decide if we're going to support VC JWT. And all of those things need to happen.
Okay. So as a starting point, am I good to open a PR that removes all E519 signature 2018 and JWS 2020 references?
Yes, you are good to do that. And just one other point. We knew we were going to have a problem with this eventually on the test suite side. Yeah. So we previously had been like signing like things all the time. We don't need to do that anymore. We don't need to include any examples that have any proofs anymore. And so I'm just calling that out. Like there's a series of changes that we probably need to make. And one of them is removing proof from all of the examples. The other is adding examples of signing with data integrity and signing with JSON web tokens. Both of those things need to be done. And if we decide we don't want to support any form of data integrity, we need to call that out explicitly.
All right. I'll update the ticket with that.
And Mahmoud, I assigned you to it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful. Let's see, we can... You know what? Let's wrap it up now and leave 5 minutes for whoever volunteers to do the minutes. Any takers?
I'll go ahead and do it.
Thank you. That's excellent, Mahmoud. And for your own benefit, make sure to kick us all out and stop the recording. All right. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.